worshipful song, amen, and to know that there is no sin. There's no sin that the blood of Jesus, if we'll come to him in repentance, can't cover and wash us and make us white as snow. Well, that's real for me this week. How about you? And what a feeling to be forgiven and cleansed, to know that. I want to ask if Chase and Autumn will stand for a moment, and they are expecting their first baby. Amen. Amen. Autumn, what's the big date? April the 8th. Praise God. Praise. Let's pray for them now together. Dear God, we are so thankful for the gift of life. Lord, it's another child. It's going to need a Bible buddy. Lord, I thank you for this couple. Thank you for their families. And Lord, it's great excitement. I pray for that new baby that's growing. I pray for mom, Lord, that you'll touch her. Just be with her going through the physical things with birth. Be with dad. Help him, Lord, to be that husband and father. Lord, we're so thankful for your gift, your mercy, and your grace. We're excited about the new arrival. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Isn't that awesome? Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I know many of you are probably reading casually for fun in Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. So if you're physically able, stand with me. You have there in your hand, or at least you're hearing, the inerrant, though errors, infallible, Word of God. It's nothing like it. And we need to hear it desperately. Amen. Deuteronomy 11:13. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Pay particular attention to verses 18 and 19. It says, therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of the house, upon the gates, that your days may be multiplied, the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Lord, thank you for your word. I ask that you open it to us through your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Simple message this morning. Short message this morning. Don't be saying amen. Been really overwhelmed by the Bible buddy process, just helping out a little bit here and there. My question, title of message, would be simply this: Are you living and sharing his word? Ask you that again. Are you living and sharing his word? That's all that's important. That the answer to every problem, every need, the guidance of how to live, what to do and not do, love, mercy, grace, peace, forgiveness, a home in heaven, a hell to avoid, everything is in this word. I challenge you, if you've never been in the habit of carrying your Bible with you, I really want to challenge you to hear the question, are you living and sharing his word? And by a simple act, and to be quite honest with you, I wish you'd pick it up this week like never before and read it and study, but I know the reality of life in this week. But if nothing more for these Bible buddies, that each one of us would find your Bible, even if you have to dust it off, and begin to bring it with you. Listen, man, you're not going hunting or fishing without your gun or your rod and reel. Ladies, we're not going to the table to eat without a fork. Amen. Bring your Bible with you. Let the Bible buddies see, and I'll trust that it'll cause us all to open it more. Amen. So take that challenge. Are you living and sharing His Word? In verse 1, and I really read some verses. I know I won't get far this morning on the world will take us. We're going to take a break from Elijah, I promise you. And I was just so overwhelmed by this passage as God took me to it. But I'm still as passionate about Elijah. We've left Elijah under the tree. And he's not heard the still small voice yet. And we're going to look practically how we can hear his voice even better. But we're going to come back to Elijah soon. But we're going to leave him there in the tree for a moment, okay? Are you living and sharing his word? See, in verse 1, we have a picture painting here in chapter 11 that it's always about his word. It's always about his word. Look at verse 1 in chapter 11. It says, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, keep his charge, keep his statutes, keep his judgment, and keep his commandment always." It's always about his word. The Bible continually directs us that we are either going to love him, as this passage is pointing out, and we're going to love his word, or we're going to be loving someone else or something else, ourselves or others or things. We're going to either be keeping his word or not keeping it. Amen? Simple as that. And it's always about his word. When we wake up in the morning, every thought we have, every word we it's all about his word. Either we are keeping, as he says, we're keeping his word. We're passionate about his word. God says in his word that he'll work all things to good to those who love him. I know Marty hated flying out this morning. He had to be away from family. But the good thing God worked is I got to teach his new Sunday school class. And we've got two young couples that made decisions, differing decisions for Christ in a revival. And we started what we initially called a believer's class. And I want to tell you, the things that are happening, the things I'm seeing, there are many of you young couples that you're not part of a Sunday school class. It may be that there's not a place you feel connected to. I want you to pray. Seriously pray this week about coming and joining these two couples, because I believe God's going to do a mighty thing. And we talk today simply about keeping his word, about seeking, sharing, serving him, basic scripture, understanding. Just a reminder, it's always about his word. Whenever we're talking to anyone or we're listening to anyone, we need to remember that it always comes back to his word. This is the only instructions we have. I like the acronym that's not pointed out in the Bible, but I think it really applies and it's truthful. Bible being basic instructions before leaving earth. We're leaving one day, amen? We're leaving, and it's our instructions. And basically, we need to understand that it's always about his word. Am I thinking, talking, am I making my decisions and choices based upon the authority of God's word? And if I'm not certain that it's based on God's authority on his word, then I am going to do everything I can to get into his word, to reach out for help, to find out what I need to do. I reminded the class this morning that I've shared that with you often, but maybe you're visiting and never heard me say this. I got on my knees one day, had a pad before me, and I got on my knees. I laid the pad out on a stool, and I said, "God, point out problems in my life. Point out sin to me. Point out problem areas. Point out things where it's not about your word." And I filled up the page very quickly. I began to turn over, and almost in tears, I asked God to stop. God had more, Greg. But I said, stop, because that's all I could deal with at that point. And if ever in my life, God's continuing to remind me, it's always about his word. Let me ask you once again, are you living and sharing his word? Is it always for you about his word? He has a word in verse 2 for adults, and this is one reason why God led me to this passage. I was reminded of verse 19 is where I began to search and study this week. But I'm reminded in verse 2, read with me in verse 2, it says, "And now know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand and his stretched out arm, and in verse 3, his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh the king of Egypt." It's a word. God here says, I've got a word for the adults. And then this is not just a word for parents and for grandparents and for people who have children. We are responsible. I'll tell you, you have children more than your own in that you are responsible, first of all, for the children of your church. Amen? This is a word. God says, I got a word for you adults. Because I'm not talking to the children here. And he's pointing out that the children have not known. And he begins to list things. You know, my simple passion is this, that I want these children that gathered here and all the other children in our church and the grandchildren connected that go to the churches to fall in love with his word and to be living his word and to be sharing his word and just change in life being changed because of the power of his word. But God is pointing out, he says, adults, you need to wake up. You know, I'll tell you, I'm going to have the children's ministry begin to challenge these children because they'll do far better in a job. You know, just when you see somebody at church without a Bible, just go ask them why. So either get your Bible together or get an answer ready. Amen? Y'all all right? So he says, adult, I've got a word for you. Are we setting the example? And I don't mean to pick on you. Maybe it's just not been a habit, and maybe it's just because, though, honestly, you're not reading it or kind of, but I can't imagine coming to church without my Bible. At times I've carried a Bible to a funeral before and immediately the funeral directors who don't even know I'm a preacher are trying to get me to be part do the funeral just because I brought my Bible. But he says, adults, listen, what are you living the Bible? What are you doing with the Bible? Are your children and grandchildren seeing you read the Bible? One of my most precious memories of my mother's father is my grandpa Thomas, and just down here on Marshall Alderbrook's Road, not far from here, and there's a big oak tree that's a whole lot bigger now than it was then, and I'd see him, and he'd be sitting under that tree reading his Bible. After we ate lunch, he'd be sitting over in his chair, Elliot, reading his Bible. And I remember that. And I remember asking one day, I said, Grandpa, because for me then it was a verse in Sunday school. And that was so many words. And how could I comprehend? I said, Grandpa, have you ever read all of that book? And he looked up at me and he said, many times, many times. And to go on later in life and to be able to read the Bible, if you've never done that, man, I challenge you. To know that it's about living and sharing that word. He has a word for the adults. He says, your children, the children of your church and your children and grandchildren, the children of our world, they've not seen things that you've seen. Isn't it amazing that he starts out in verse 2 with chastisement? He says, they've not seen God's chastisement where God had to punish and take care of sin in people's lives. He's saying, listen, you've got to prepare your children to understand if they make choices contrary to God, if mom and dad or grandpa do, that there's chastisement, there's punishment that God will bring. The first thing he mentions. Then he goes on through the rest of verse 2, verse 3. He says, they've not seen his greatness. Amen. I love reading this, that they've not seen his mighty hand like you have. They've not seen his outstretched arm. In verse 3, it says they haven't seen his miracles. And I'm telling you, to be sitting in a church in this day and time, in the world that we live in, I think it's a miracle that we're here, amen? That we're still here. And his acts of what he's doing. In verses 7 through 12, I'm not going to read those verses, read them for yourself, but he talks there of plans for the future. God is continually talking about the times past, to teach us about the present time, and he's always talking about this time and place that's coming. See, there's another time and place coming every day, and God says to find his will in his word. And he says, I'm always wanting you to look at that time and place and what I have planned for you, and it is impossible for you to arrive at the plans I have for you. This week, a young middle school boy in our church, I had to talk to him about some things, and I was talking with him, and he was very scared at first because he thought he was in trouble, and he wasn't in much trouble, but a little bit. And at one point in the conversation, I looked at him, and I said, did you know that God's got great plans for you? And he gave me that middle school boy look, like, you know. I said, really, has no one ever told you that God has great plans for you? And he looked up at me and said, No. Has anyone ever told you that you really heard and you began to see through the power of his word and prayer and walking with him the greatness, the mighty hand, the outstretched, the miracles? Has anybody ever told you that God has great plans for you? Well, it's too late for me. Too old, preacher. Done too many days, don't. Too much time and place gone. I'm telling you what, God's plan don't change regardless of what else happens. What you've done or haven't done, God's plan don't change. And he's got great plans, but the only way to find his plans, and they're always connected with time and place. In verse 7, it talks about more great acts he wants to. In verse 8, it talks about commands we've got to keep that'll help literally make us strong and prepare us to go. Verse 9 talks about literally prolonging our days. It's interesting. Recently, I was reading in the Bible, and it spoke of not drinking wine or strong drink, and that it would make you rich. Now, we don't preach that often. And some of you say, what are you talking about, preacher? But see, how often people miss that in the church setting. I'm going to do some casual drinking. But I tell you what, God talks a lot about that being great or not. When you come across that being rich, well, you say, well, I'd rather drink and be rich. You lying? To prolong our days serving him. Verse 10 is talking about don't realize that how much God cares about where we're going. In verse 13 that we began reading just earlier, look back with me very quickly. Verse 13 has, you can put three words. You can underline them kind of, or you can just write them out in your notes if you're taking notes. He says that we need to listen, we need to love, and we need to serve. He says we need to hearken to him. That's the listening. He says we need to love the God with and serve all our heart and all our soul. And hey, you got to get all his word into your life and heart and soul to be able to serve him and love him like we should. In verse 16, there's a warning we read about that we need to guard our heart. He's saying, you got to guard your heart. You got to not take your eyes off the Lord. He says you can have a deceived heart. You can turn aside. Amen. And begin to serve other gods. In verse 18, it's a picture of saying that my words have got to be in your very heart. And I'm telling y'all, if you're depending on me to get this word in you for 30 minutes on Sunday, your Sunday school teacher for some teaching time or something, if you're expecting that, bless your heart. I have not got the capability or the time or the power to get this in your heart and soul. But God, as I was teaching this morning, I was confessing in the class that I talk about this word seek. I was sharing Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God. He'll add all these things to him. And I've been ministering the first Sunday of next month. I've been a pastor here for 20 years, and that's how long I've been a pastor. And I'm asking myself this week, what does first really look like, Jim? If we put his word first, if we as Christians, as we as a church family, if we put his word first, if we really begin to live it, really begin to share it, really become obedient to it, what would it look like? What would it look like? I think God, just as in this passage, he's talking to the adults now. Most all the children that got their Bible in the back, they're in the back learning his word, studying those Bibles. But God said, I'm speaking to you. I'm not speaking to the children. And I want to read just in closing. Read with me again. Look at it with me again in verse 2 and verse 3. He says, basically, you, the children, whether your children and grandchildren or just children of your church, your community, says they've not seen the chastisement of God. The biblical history of chastisement, but also, church, think with me. How many times have you been to God's woodshed? How many times has God just got all over you about how you're living, what you're saying, what you're doing? He said they've not seen that. Had a good friend that would not share his testimony in the church when his children were young because he did not want them to hear what he had done in his life. But he didn't understand this passage because I've told my children the things I've done, how ashamed I am of them, what it means to do them, and how I wish I hadn't and how I don't want them to. He said, they don't know it. He says, I'm looking for you to teach it to them. It said in verse 19, his greatness. Isn't he a great God? Great mercy, patience with sinners like you and I. His mighty hand, creating new life in mothers here in the church, and all that he does in our lives daily, the breath of life, each heartbeat, his outstretched hand to you this morning and every day, whatever we need, his miracles that he's done, his acts. Are you living and sharing his word? Would you bow with me, every head bowed and every eye closed? You cannot understand the word and will have no direct application in your life if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ. If you would, as the Bible says, Jesus was the Word made flesh. Jesus must come to live inside of you to bring that Word inside of you before the Bible can begin to do all those things He wants to do. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you need to do it today. How about, where is your life right now lined up with the Word? What are you doing in your life that doesn't match up the way God is intended for you to live? How does it match up? Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, God, I've got some problems. I've got some issues. I've got some sin. I've got some situations that I need your help to make right. Begin today. You may say, it's going to take more than a prayer, God, preacher, to make it right. Well, just start today with a prayer and just commit to God that you're going to do whatever it takes to make it right. Maybe you need to come. Maybe God wants you to be part of this church family. Open the doors where the need is. Would you come? Jesus, we give you this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jessica, would you lead us? Oh, Tim, would you lead us?
Let's all stand, please. We turn to page 591.